Today and tomorrow, some overheard conversations, you might say. We spent a few days at the International Book Fair in Miami this month and decided to put some writers together in a room to talk about the big things that motivate our lives. We chose love and death and a panel of writers to tackle each one of those. Because we think there are people who tend to obsess more about death and others who tend to obsess more about love, which are you. Well, you know how to reach us. But we begin today with, well, did you hear the one about death?
It's something about an old couple, and they've been married for, you know, 120 years, and they're each 180. I don't know. It's something like that. I'm not good with numbers. But anyway, and then they finally decide to get a divorce, and everybody is saying, but my gosh, you've been together so long. Why are you getting a divorce now? And they say, well, we stayed together until the children died. Is that a joke?
Ouch. That's writer Judy Goldman trying to tell a joke about death. Didn't quite work. Then writer Carol Blue gives it a shot.
These two old men meeting on a park bench, and the one says to him, you know, how's your lovely wife so-and-so? Oh, well, she died recently of cancer.
I'll save you the suspense. Let me tell you, this joke doesn't work either. So Susanna, in the room with us, tells a story quickly.
At my worst moment, I got up and did an Irish jig, and everyone laughed. So,
in the hospital?
In the hospital, yes. The wires in my head, I looked crazy, and I did an Irish jig, and everyone was happy to see me dancing. So that was a highlight.
Now, that's getting closer to an actual laugh. Susanna Cahalan describing her highlight moment of levity amidst a mental illness she thought might kill her. In the room, along with Judy, Carol, and Susanna, are writers Benjamin Bush and Denis Bouchard, who were a bit less inclined to tell a joke.
My job was to defeat death.
Death was that moment when there's nothing to push against.
All five of these writers sat down with me just before Thanksgiving to talk about their latest work and about death. Actually, death was my idea, since death and loss unifies the works of these writers.
You exist and then you don't.
They kind of strip me of my identity and my memory and my sense of self.
I can't imagine life without you.
These writers all have a particular story about and proximity to death. For Benjamin Bush, his book Dust to Dust is about his observance of death in the war in Iraq and the loss of his parents. For Denis Bouchard, it was the suicide of his bank robber father in Cures for Hunger. For Carol Blue, it was the death of her husband, the writer Christopher Hitchens, from cancer, the account of that death in the book Mortality. And for Susanna Cahalan, it was her narrowly surviving a brain disorder, a story told in Brain on Fire, My Month of Madness. But for Judy Goldman, it was the loss of her sister, hence the title of her latest book, Losing My Sister.
My sister and I lost both of our parents at the same time when my sister and I were in our 30s. And we were both so profoundly sad. It was as though she was saying to me, make me feel better, Judy. And I was saying to her, make me feel better, Brenda. And when neither of us could take away the other's pain, we turned on each other. So my first experience of death, I actually lost more than just the people who died, in that I lost both of my parents to death, but then I lost my sister to conflict.
Which leads directly to, is death something you thought about much until the experience that forced it upon you, Suzanne?
Absolutely not. It's something I still don't really think about that often still, even after this. You know, it was my experience where I had a rare autoimmune disease that kind of stripped me of my identity and my memory and my sense of self. You know, that whole time, I never thought I was going to die. And I think maybe that's a function of my age. I was 24 at the time. But that was something that I never faced straight dead on.
In telling the story, what was it like to basically investigate people's plans for you not being around, which was kind of the deal here?
I likened it to kind of Tom Sawyer attending his own funeral. You know, it's a bizarre experience, but it's also you kind of only get the most positive aspects of yourself, because when someone is so worried and so, you know, it's a heart-wrenching moments for them. When they relate it to me, you know, they relate it to me in these glowing terms that they, you know, they, how could they lose? You know, so I have this kind of lopsided view of that time.
So death distorts their view of you.
Definitely.
Each of these writers said that the experience of death was entwined with a deeper sense of the experience of living. Denis Bouchard told us the story of his father's nearly insane cruelty, with a smile on his face.
I think that the way to describe my understanding of death at a young age would be this game my father would play when we were children. And my brother and I would be in the truck, and he would race a train. He'd pass the train, get well ahead of it, and he'd park on the railroad track and turn the truck off. And then we'd watch the train coming towards us. You know, he'd see it in the side window, and he'd pretend the truck wouldn't start. And we'd be giving him all the advice. You know, turn the key, you know, hit the gas, give it some gas. His truck would often stall out in traffic. We'd often be caught in traffic with a stalled truck. It was an old truck. And somehow the truck would always start, and he'd pull off the track just before the train came. Sometimes he'd get out of the truck and pocket the keys and pretend to walk away or lock us in it.
Real father of the year.
Definitely father of the year material. But I remember sitting there and looking at my father and seeing the joy in his face. And I thought, yeah, that's true. That was pretty fun. And everything kind of glittered and sparkled. I felt extremely alive. And I think that when my father decided he'd had enough of life, he would call me, and I could see he wasn't pushing against something anymore. And I always began to understand that death was that moment when there's nothing to push against. There's just some profound uncertainty that you have to surrender yourself to. And he sort of looked back and began trying to rewrite his life for me and to give me this life over the phone. I had never met his family. He hadn't seen his family in 30 years. I didn't know his real name. He told me his real name in the last conversation. He told me the name of my grandmother. I didn't know almost anything about where he'd come from. And so he was sort of going back and trying to rewrite his life. And he wasn't looking forward anymore. He wasn't pushing against the future. He was trying to gather the past back and to create an identity for himself.
Did Christopher Hitchens understand his death in the end, Carol?
Well, first off, I was going to say he was just such a lover of life and wanted to stick around. And I don't think he contemplated death much at all. What he knew is that it existed. He accepted it for what it was.
Did his writing about death help him to understand, to clarify? Certainly writing was...
He wasn't really, as I say, he wasn't... I think he got the idea that you exist and then you don't. That was his interpretation of our short time here on the planet. So he was trying to stay alive, and he referred to that as living dyingly, while acknowledging that he had to prepare for the possibility that he wouldn't be around for much longer.
For Benjamin Bush, as a soldier, a writer, and an actor who has appeared on the series The Wire, death began as something of an abstraction.
I think death in some ways drives me. The idea that it's disappearance, it is your disappearance, your death, has always haunted me in some way. And in my work, I strove to try to restore permanence, immortality, and the idea that memory does that.
Have you seen death?
I've seen a good deal of death. As a child, I viewed my parents with the eyes of a child, which is that they are immortal figures, and that my job was to defeat death in my life, to prepare always. And as a Marine in Iraq, the randomness of death defies all of that preparation. It's not even about your prowess. And all my best laid plans were surrounded in death in my second tour, especially in Ramadi in 2005. And I returned on my daughter's very first birthday, becoming a father. And it changed my perspective on, you know, our arrival into the world, fresh, pure, and vital. And then within a year, I lost both of my parents, which was the birth of this book.
How do you think you'd say goodbye to someone who was dying? Did your experience cause you to think about the idea of saying goodbye?
I think the last things were the hardest, because my father died of a heart attack in New York while I was on the set of The Wire in Baltimore, and I rushed the whole way to New York knowing he was dead and not believing he was dead, and having that conversation with myself, almost arguing with myself over things I had no hand in about his survival, and getting there to nothing but the white sheet and to whisper, your best destiny was fatherhood, was the one thing I wish he could have heard me say. And when my mother began to die within a very short period of time there of a brain tumor, she was the archive. And the fact that he lived in her because she still existed, and as she, it was an incurable cancer. We went to operate on it, and within a week after the operation, it came back and took her. But I was stunned by my inability even at that time, with everything I knew about, you know, the inevitability of mortality, and in that case, of the certainty of it, that for most of the time that I had with her in her moments when she was awake, I wasn't asking for the stories, and I wasn't telling her how wonderful the stories were that she'd given me. I was defiant to my own loss, and then she was gone.
And so at that point, I broached the subject of actually saying goodbye, final words. Do people yearn for that? Do they ever even try to get it right with some word or phrase to give closure, you know, that sort of thing? Each person said that trying to control the experience of death is futile. It controls you. Denny Bouchard told us it was his father who decided when he would die. For Carol Blue and Susanna Cahalan, finality was something to be resisted at all costs.
That's a really hard thing to even think about and contemplate. And I, during my worst moments, and again, I don't remember what it was like during that time, but I was never saying ready to say goodbye. I don't think most people are ready to say goodbye.
Did your loved one say goodbye to you?
No. That was.
There's no perfect line, is there? I mean, it's everything that came before. Either you got that right or not.
I can't really imagine going up to somebody and saying goodbye. I think.
What about your dad?
Well, I think the way I see it more is everything's a hello, you know? And when you're seeing somebody, it's just being open to them. So that if that is the last time, you're open, you're present, you're welcoming them. And that's, I think, about as much as you can do, is just be open and welcome the person and be there. And if they do die, that's a lot better than saying goodbye, you know, to me, in my mind, you know. With my father and me, we really could not talk about, I mean, he told me that he was going to take his own life. And he kind of said, are you okay with that? Can you handle that? And I was 19, and I said, yeah, I can handle that. That's fine. That's your decision. That's fine.
Was that truthful? Was that a truthful answer?
It was a truthful answer. I did give it some thought. And he wasn't very happy. He didn't want to be alive. And he was a very manipulative guy. He said to me, well, look, if you drop out of university and you come live with me, maybe I can convince myself to stay alive. And I said to him, I'm so...
It's kind of like the pickup truck on the railroad track.
Yeah, really.
It really is. Yeah. It's a difficult relationship. So I think that with my father and myself, we couldn't really show weakness to each other. And he would have really hated me if I had said, goodbye, I'm going to miss you, or you know, something that would have shown pity or...
Not a hugger.
We were not huggers.
Yeah.
So it was kind of, we were both being tough. And I was saying, I felt his expectation was for me to say, yeah, okay, you want to die? That's fine. And we kind of operated that way.
And for Judy Goldman, there was no control at the end. She searched for a moment to reconcile with her dying sister for months, only to discover that moment would find her.
I wrote a novel. My first novel, The Slow Way Back, was the story of two made-up, not-so-made-up sisters doing made-up, not-so-made-up things. And in that novel, this sister dies. So, and my sister was certainly alive and well then.
How did she die in your novel?
In my novel, she died of cancer. So, John, you don't want me to write a book about your dying because what I write about comes true later. Anyway, I mean, when I look back on that first novel, I think it was Judy rehearsing death.
How did the real death stand up to the imagined one?
Here's the real death. We're going through that period of 4 months before she died. We both know it's coming. And I kept wanting to say something to her that would encapsulate the whole relationship of us. And I couldn't come up with what it would be. And day after day, I'm struggling. Today is the day I'm going to say something about sisters, about our relationship, something that's so important that says it all. And I never could come up with anything until finally one day, just I saw the words traveling from my mouth. They were not planned at all. What I said to her is, I can't imagine life without you. And isn't that it? Isn't that the whole thing?
Well, thanks so much to all of you. This has been great. And
yeah, it's been great talking about death, hasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Let's have a drink.
This is a fun group.
Can we transition into love now?
What a bunch of troopers. A very special thanks to all of our panelists, Judy Goldman, author of Losing My Sister, Carol Blue, wife of the late Christopher Hitchens, who discussed his last book, Mortality, Denny Bouchard, who spoke about his memoir of his difficult father, Cures for Hunger, Benjamin Bush, author of Dust to Dust, and Susanna Cahalan, author of the memoir Brain on Fire, My Month of Madness. Tomorrow, no more death. It's all about love.
I think the thing that is most compelling about love is that it can either totally redeem you or make you completely crazy.
We get redeemed and crazy together talking about love. That's Robert Gulrich and four other novelists sitting down to talk about love. Are you someone who thinks more about death or more about love?
My 92-year-old mother lives with my husband and I. She is not dying, but death is imminent when you're 92 years old. So my husband and I focus most of our lives thinking about love. When you can't get away from death and it's imminent, you think more about love.
Wisdom from Des in Detroit, Michigan. Thanks so much. Give us your story at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Do you think more about love or death? We'll talk about love tomorrow. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.